Now is Senate Republican President Len Fasano. Senator, good morning and welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, all things considered?
Good. No worse for wear.
Well, yeah, I hear you. Now, after the governor vetoed the budget yesterday, you were quoted as saying that we are now in chaos as a state financially. Talk a bit about that.
So, you know, when the governor vetoes the budget, then what he's saying is his executive order is going to go into play. And his executive order are cuts to municipalities that are deep, cut to social services, cuts to education, funding some areas more than others. Some are going to get absolutely zero. I just read this morning that based upon this, the town of Plymouth has sent layoff notices, I believe, to teachers, or at least the educational system. I'm not exactly sure where they fell, but to educational system. That's what you're going to see across the state. And the reason why I object to this is the fact, and the reason why I say it's chaos, is because when you start doing those orders, you're hurting an awful lot of people, and the ancillary ramifications of those decisions are going to be widespread and unknown. And that's really kind of scary. Look, if they had another plan, at least I could appreciate the veto and saying we're going to veto what passed and here's our plan. But they don't have another plan other than the governor's executive orders. And let me just say this. We've got to strive for a bipartisan budget. We have to. And we're having very, very, very good conversations, I will say that, and very meaningful in terms of understanding the philosophy of our points. And that's very helpful. And that's still going on. But a parallel course is this veto. And if we don't get to a deal in time, I just don't understand for the life of me why the Democrats would put their party politics aside and say, let's grin and bear it, agree, override the governor's veto, get the Republican bill on the table, and then we can amend those portions we really don't like. We're together 90% of it. The other 10% we really kind of not like. So let's pick out those paragraphs we don't like, but let's fund our schools, fund our social services, fund our care for kids. That's what they should be doing, not saying we just can't vote for Republican budget because it's a Republican budget. That, to me, is just about power and politics, not about people. And they've ran this out as far as they could go. It's time for them to get real. It's time for them to think about their town, their constituency, and make a determination.
Well, what's the 10% area that seems to be the dividing point?
They're big areas. I'm not going to downplay them. Those areas are bonding cap. In other words, the governor's been bonding at very high rates. The governor does not like the bonding cap, but I think he's willing to relent, mostly because he's not going to be around, after November, so it's not going to really be as much of an impact on him. But the Democrats have an issue with that. The spending cap, the definition of a spending cap, when we passed the income tax, there was supposed to be a spending cap that was supposed to be defined, and we never really defined it appropriately, but a real spending cap that you can't get around. The changes to the union contracts in 2027. The governor is, looking at our ECS formula, which I appreciate. We're going to be looking at some ideas he has to restructure some of the teachers' pension. We'll look at that. But right now, that's a bone of contention on both sides. And those are really the biggest issues, I think, that are on the table that I think we still need to hammer out. And we had a very long day yesterday, and today it's kind of like, let's all go back, think about what each other said, share some information on Monday. Let's come back to the table with potential compromises if we can get there. So we are really trying to work to there, and I really hope we do. But if we don't, we can't let this veto go in because it will be chaos.
So they're meeting scheduled again with the governor on Monday.
At 5 p.m., yes.
At 5 p.m., okay. By the way, to your point about Plymouth, they have sent layoff notices to some teachers and staff if there's not a budget by October the 13th. What are the chances you think we'll have a budget by October the 13th?
You know, I will say that October 10th is a big day, because if we don't have a bipartisan day at that time, bipartisan budget at that time, then the next issue is, do we have an override? And if we don't have a bipartisan deal and we don't have an override, you will not have a budget in the near future of that week, certainly, which is, includes that 13th.
So you
it
say,
just won't happen.
Right. So in other words, when will the legislature have to meet then to vote on this veto?
On October 10th, there's a window. You gavel in, if you would. The Secretary of State actually calls us in on our rules. And it starts on the 10th and ends on the 13th. Mm-hmm. So that's the window, which is Tuesday to Thursday, I guess. And because Monday is a holiday, being Columbus Day, so we start on Tuesday.
Now, there are some groups out there representing the small towns that are urging that this veto be overridden. What have you heard?
Yes, they were at the Capitol yesterday when we were at the Capitol yesterday. And let me say this, there are a number of groups, some who are remaining silent, which shocks me. I am appalled that there are a number of social service groups, nonprofit groups, that our budget funds and protects for our social services. And they refuse to speak. They know our budget is better than the other alternatives, the governor's veto or the Democrat budget. They know that. They've told me that. But yet they remain silent, which is, to me, beyond the pale. And it's politics. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's politics. And that's shameful. That's shameful.
Now you're talking about
Republicans have done more for social services in our budget than the Democrats' budget, governor/Democrat budget. We fund care for kids in the first year and second year. They don't fund care for kids in the second year. Meals on Wheels. They don't fund Meals on Wheels. Think about that. Think about
wow.
that. We fund Meals on Wheels. We fund our mental. We put more money in for mental health. We put more money in for drug addiction. And I don't see, except for you guys and some other radio stations, I don't see the written press talk about the social services that we fund compared to the Democrats. And let me tell you, if it was reverse, they would drag the Republicans through the mud. But I don't see that. I don't know why. Can't speak to that. And I don't know why these social service groups, who I've called and pointed out, that you were very quick when made cuts to social services to have rallies and protests and letters, and yet, particularly the lobbyists representing these groups, have been extraordinarily silent. You know, I appreciate the fact that the disabled community, adults disabled community, spoke in favor of our budget. I do appreciate that, and some others, but it has to be more, and usually it is more. And why they're silent is beyond my scope. But you know what? They got to put their head on the pillow at night. We know what we did.
Well, when you call and talk to some of these groups and ask them why they're silent, what's their answer?
You know, I can hear the music in the background playing as they dance around my question.
Hmm.
You know, it's, well, no, yeah, you do it. We really appreciate it. I thank you. But in this one area, you didn't go far enough. It's like, okay. Maybe you don't think we want far about, but how about the other 99% that we hit? You going to speak about those? That's the problem. But I know why they're doing it. I know why they're doing it, and they know why they're doing it.
Because they're aligned with the Democratic Party. Is that it?
Well, they want to raise taxes. And they side with SEIU to raise taxes, and you know they got an unholy alliance between them and SEIU, and so. The fact that we could pay for these social services and not raise taxes is correct as far as the constituency group they represent, but not their philosophy. So they're stuck. So they picked look, we're not going to come against the budget, but we're not going to speak in favor of it. And who gets hurt?
Now
the social services, right?
Right. Now the governor's out there saying that the GOP-led budget is unsustainable. The figures don't add up. You've heard all of the rhetoric. What do you say to that?
Yeah. So the way he gets that is simply this: we say after 2027, after when the CBAC agreement ends, there are changes that we make to collective bargaining, limited in scope and in nature, and the change is that in collective bargaining, the pension contribution by state employees should be no less than 7%. Second thing we say is overtime shall not be added to the pension. The third thing is complicated breakpoint, but not very material. Those are the things that we put in our budget starting in 2027. And then we have an actuary who's the state's actuary who gave us a value for those figures, which means they say, based upon these changes in 2027, your contribution to the pension plan is less because those benefits decrease the liability to the plan. So you're going to pay less. The governor has argued, one, you can't do that, that's illegal, which is his argument, but he's yet to produce anything other than him saying it. Number two, he's argued that in good faith he can't make certain changes because he negotiated the deal. He's arguing we can't do this. And if you take the extension of his argument that he's made in the papers that we can't do this, it means the legislature could never change CBAC, because his argument was when they were negotiating CBAC, if you recall, I was on your radio station, Demis and I were saying, since you're opening CBAC and negotiating, make these changes. And he said, no, you can't do that now. Mm. Well, if you can't do it when you're negotiating and you can't do it when the contract ends, there is no other window for which time you could do it.
Right.
So, under his argument, the legislature has no control. Look, we're the one of only three states in the country that has pensions as part of their collective bargaining. All the other states, except two others, don't. There's a reason for that, because that is a huge liability we can't control. So, we feel we should get more control over it. And those are the issues that we're faced with, and that's the structural change we need that's going to have some effect, 2 years, but generations from now going to have a significant effect. Significant.
Mm-hmm. Now, Senator, obviously also in limbo is this negotiations with the hospitals, that hospital tax, and it could leave federal dollars in limbo. How might that affect the state budget?
So, I think everybody, governor included, Democrats included, Republicans, are all concerned over this hospital issue. So basically, just for the listeners, there's a hospital tax that the hospitals agreed to, a portion of the hospital tax the hospital agreed to, we all agreed to, and it benefits the state by increasing federal dollars, which is all really good, and there's bipartisan support for that. The issue is, do we have to do it by October 1st? Ben Barnes has assured us that he's talked to the feds and he's going to do a plan and then we'll go from there, but we're going to be fine. There's also a lawsuit between the hospital in Connecticut, which is the second issue, and they kind of want to wrap everything together in some fashion. So they're talking, they're negotiating in another building. And so rather than us voting this morning on the hospital tax, it was understood that there's no harm in not doing that.
Okay.
But let's see if we wait another week to see if the parties can come to an agreement. If they can't, we may have to move on it, but we're going to give it another week. And I think there's sort of bipartisan understanding that that kind of makes sense.
The teachers union is out there saying that the Republican budget calls for an increase in their pension contributions, but that the money wouldn't be going towards the pensions. It would be going towards the general fund. Can you clarify that?
Sure. So what happens is we have asked teachers to give 1%. So let's talk about Democrat budget versus our budget with respect to the teachers. In the Democrat budget, the teachers are supposed to, they have retired teachers' pension, 25% is exempt from taxes. That jumps up to 50% in 2018. The Democrats have taken that away we have left that in play. So the number two, the Democrats want to put the pension obligation off the state's payroll and on the back of municipalities. We don't want to do that for a variety of reasons, one of which it pitches teachers against municipalities. Two is that municipalities don't have a right to determine the benefits because they're not on any board that allows them to do it. It's a separate board. And number three, you're going to have to raise property taxes. The Democrats want to put it on the back of municipalities. It's a way to save $200 million, $400 over the 2 years. Republicans are saying, look, what we want to do is raise teachers' pension 1% 1 year, 1% the second year, so that we can have a better amount of money going into the fund to try to make it a better fund. We would reduce the amount of money the state pays to the fund by that amount of money the teachers pay. We cannot say in our statute that that money must go to the fund, because you have to do some complicated steps before that. So what we say, it's going to go to the general fund, and then Representative Claris and I wrote to the teacher retirement fund and says, if this bill passed, you need to do these steps, which includes some calculations, and we want that money to go to the teacher's pension plan. So our intent is to put the money in the teacher's pension plan, but because of the way the pension laws work, it has to be done through an actuary. So we've instructed the teacher's pension folks that if the budget does pass, to take those steps to ensure it gets there. But we can't do it. It's just something that through a legal instrument you can't do. It has to be done through another operation. But our intent is not to take it and put it into the general fund just to be used to pay for, you know, books and papers or whatever. It is to be put into the teacher's pension plan. CEA knows it, but it's a lot harder to explain what I did and a lot easier for them to say it's just going to the general fund. But we're getting the word out. I think teachers understand that's not the intent of what CEA is saying, and I'm saying it now. We have, Dennis and I have said it time and time again. This is to go to the teacher's pension fund.
Okay. Well, Senator, thanks for illuminating this for our audience today. We'll see what unfolds over the next few weeks, but we'll stay in touch and enjoy your weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
Take care. Senator Len Fasano will be back in just a moment on CT on the Hill.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.